as we sort of still in the middle of winter at the moment, one of those things that we may have forgotten about, they may not be terrorising you through June and July, but they will be back. I'm talking about mozzies, those dreaded mosquitoes, and there are plenty of them in our own backyard. To talk with us a little bit about that is mosquito researcher from New South Wales Health Pathology. It's Dr. Cameron Webb. Good morning, Cameron. Before we came on this morning, you were telling me that we have a lot to be concerned about in terms of mosquitoes here in the Hunter, don't we?
Yeah, people who live around the Hunter region certainly are well aware of mosquitoes and their disruption they can cause during summer barbecues. There's plenty about, and they'll certainly readily bite and cause a disturbance to our activity outside. But there's problems that go beyond just annoying mosquito bites, and in the greater Hunter area, and also many areas of coastal New South Wales, there's a risk of mosquito-borne Ross River virus, and we're seeing a lot of the cases of that in recent years along coastal regions of Australia. So it's the health risks associated with mosquito bites which are just as much a concern as those annoying itchy red lumps.
So how does that particular virus affect us? Because that's something that just sticks around. Once you got it, am I right?
Yeah, it can last for a long time. Ross River virus and the disease it causes fortunately isn't fatal, but it can be severely debilitating. So in some cases, you might feel like you've got a really bad case of the flu, a bit of rash, fever, headache. You might feel a little bit tired. Sometimes you're not even sick enough that you're actually diagnosed with Ross River virus disease. But in other instances, it can be incredibly severe, and with a joint pain and fatigue, you can be bedridden for many weeks, if not months. And it's probably those more severe cases that end up getting diagnosed. And, you know, across Australia, we see about 5,000 cases of Ross River virus disease officially notified. But in the last couple of years, we've seen quite large outbreaks, not only in Queensland and northern New South Wales, but even in the past 12 months, almost a record-breaking outbreak of the disease in Victoria after all the floods we had last spring.
Yeah, so they love those wet conditions. Now, you also said to me that, yes, we've got the wetlands, we've got the Hunter River, but how those mosquitoes, they don't just stick in their own backyard. They just can travel for a long way from their base, can't they?
Yeah, they sure can. So there's about 60 different mosquito species that you might be able to find in and around Newcastle. Some of them are incredibly rare.
60?
About 60 different types. And so some of them I could even spend a lot of time trying to find them and never actually catch them. But there's a handful that consistently cause a problem. And one of the major pests is known as Aedes vigilax. It's a mosquito that's found in salt marsh and mangrove areas along the Hunter River. It loves the really salty water, and when the wetlands are filled up by tides, the mosquitoes kind of really boost in their numbers. But as well as being a lot of mosquitoes coming out of those habitats, they can also fly a long way. And so we know 5 to 10 kilometres is quite easy for this mosquito. So that means you can be bitten in your backyard a long way away from the nearest mangroves, but that's actually where those mosquitoes have flown from.
Very, very scary indeed. What purpose do they actually serve? I know everything has a reason for being here, but I just, for the life of me, can't figure out why we have mozzies.
Well, apart from keeping me in a job, which is a pretty good reason.
That's what it is. We've figured it out.
Working out what the ecological role of mosquitoes is has been pretty low on the priority list for most scientists. We're trying to work out why they spread the pathogens that cause disease, or we're trying to work out better ways to kill them. But we do know that mosquitoes are food for birds and bats and fish and frogs, and they probably help pollinate some of our plants. But the thing is that nobody has found a plant or animal species anywhere on the planet that is completely reliant on mosquitoes. So at the moment, our current feeling is that they're a pretty common snack food, but they're not a staple in the diet or required by any animal that we know of.
Which does bring me to my final point this morning, Cameron. We know they'll be back for our barbecues, or in the case of those who work in and around university, just getting from your car to the job can be a bit of a problem. How is the best way to prevent mozzies from attacking us?
Yeah, we're never going to eradicate them, I'm afraid. So the best way is just to try to provide the best protection against their bites. And you can do that by wearing long sleeve shirts and long pants and covered shoes, but that can be a bit hot during summer. The other option is to use a topical insect repellent. So if you go into your local pharmacy or supermarket, pick a product that contains either DEET, picaridin, or oil of lemon eucalyptus. They all are safe and effective to use and provide the longest lasting protection. if you're using something like the plant-based products like tea tree oil or something like that, that will provide some protection, but you'll have to reapply that two or three times as frequently to get the same level of protection. And just make sure you cover all exposed areas of skin, because if you miss a bit, mosquitoes can find that little chink in your armour and come through and bite.
Of course they can. Cameron, thank you for that. That's a great information there. They may be laying low at the moment, but it won't be too long before we'll be reaching for that insect repellent. Thank you for your time with us this morning.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for your time.
It is Dr. Cameron Webb, an expert on mosquitoes and mosquito researcher with New South Wales Health Pathology here at 2NURFM.